Mike Bailey, a pioneer of the Gulf Coast wine scene and award-winning food entrepreneur.
I know a lot of you wonder what to do with your moon pies. Well, I've got some wine suggestions for you. Lemon moon pies, Sauvignon Blanc, Chenin Blanc, or Pinot Grigio.
Stuart Reb Donald, acclaimed food and travel writer and world-class chef.
I was chef de casserole. I made the casseroles in the frozen food department.
For more than a decade, they've combined their expertise to answer your questions and introduce you to the culinary movers and shakers you want or ought to know. Four-time Taste Award finalists, 13-time Nappy Award losers. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Drop, keep a screaming for more.
Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Wise boy, we're drinking wine. Wise boy.
I'm so sorry. Welcome to the Sip and Chew Show with Mike and Stu. I'm sitting here having some technical difficulties. My earphones fell apart right as we
your muffs. Your ear muffs.
My little cushiony things came off my earphones. So
yeah.
I hadn't had time to put it back on.
Yeah. You'll be lopsided till the commercial.
If it had been last week, I could have turned around and made this my eye patch on my left eye. But anyway, hey.
Because you had gout of the eye.
I don't know. Had trash in my eyes that got infected.
Yeah.
So there's a big difference.
Yeah.
Big difference. So.
Gout of the
anyway,
eye.
Anyway, all right, all right. Hey. I almost thought I was going to be late for the show this morning because they had to wait for the snowmobiles to get off the interstate to push it up, all that snow, all that two flakes to the side of the road.
Hey, James Spann said, anyone saying that Mobile and Baldwin County are going to get a bunch of snow, it's just clickbait. He said none of the models showed that.
Yeah.
He said they were he was talking to me. He said the other ones that are forecasting all of this, they're using one model that shows it, one that is notorious for never being right. Said all the other models show just that southeastern corner of Alabama.
Yeah. Well, good for them. Let them have it.
Panhandle got some. Pensacola got some.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like I told the ladies this morning, leaving the store, I said, and if you want to see snow, you're going to have to go to Florida. Bet you didn't expect to hear that.
Anyway, well, everybody's got their have their iguanas on ice down
heck
there.
Yeah. Iguanas, chicken of the trees, baby.
That's it. That'd be a nice ice show. Mm-hmm. Iguanas on ice, like Disney on ice, but yeah. Iguanas.
Not to mention delicious.
Oh, I've never had any. Yep. Don't plan to, but anyway.
Why not? You eat chicken. Listen, there's nothing you can eat that is more disgusting than an American-raised chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is a step up from chicken that we raise here in America.
Even shway?
Shway? Oh, that's not an animal. That's a fish. Yeah, it doesn't walk around on the ground.
It's edible in some cases.
Yeah.
Mushrooms are edible too.
But can't eat all of them, can you?
Yeah, I'm not talking about the environment they grow up in like that. But yeah. Our chicken is as bad as shway, yes.
Mm-hmm.
The way we raise it here in the U.S. The if it's cheap. First off, they're way too big. Chickens aren't that big naturally.
Mm-hmm.
That's all hormones.
I was about to say.
Yeah.
Not if you buy the ones that not or do not have hormones though.
You mean the range free?
Well, there's a when we left here, we went to the pig.
Yeah, Springer Mountain.
Springer Mountain
is a brand. They're much smaller. Much cleaner. Here's the thing.
It was
one of the dark secrets of poultry industry. Is even though that package says no antibiotics and no hormones.
Mm-hmm.
They can give them antibiotics and hormones up until 3 days before they go to market. As long as it's cleaned for 3 days, it will not show if they were given that the first month of their life. As long as it tests clean at market, and that's all they go by. Springer Mountain actually doesn't do hormones. But
where are they out of?
Springer Mountain.
Are they Alabama or are they Georgia?
I'm not sure.
I looked and I don't remember.
I believe it's Carolinas.
But
that is one of the dark secrets about any of the stuff you see at a grocery store that says no hormones, no antibiotics, is it only takes a few days to get it out of their system and they'll test clean. So they're still getting it up
into Baldwin, Georgia.
Oh, there we go. Baldwin, Georgia.
I knew Steve would come through for us.
Yeah.
That's just one of the many things I like about
Mike, he ain't scared to type in something in Google. Mike scared.
I will Google the heck out of it. So, used to, because I don't even ask you anymore. I'd say, how do you do this? Google it.
Yeah, exactly.
Northeast Georgia.
Huh?
Northeast Georgia.
Okay, so, up there.
Around Dalton, the carpet capital of the world.
Yeah.
Man, I was driving back from a Rush concert in Atlanta to Nashville. Mm-hmm. And it was on a stretch there near Dalton where you could probably see 3 miles behind you on the interstate and about 3 miles ahead of you on the interstate. You're in a bottom valley, of a hill where we were, and the top of the hill on each side is probably 3 miles in each direction. And I remember looking up at my rear view just as a Georgia State Trooper crested the hill behind us and told my roommate, there's a trooper behind us. 2, 3, shoom! That fast he was by us.
Wow.
And my roommate was like, holy cow, it was one of those Mustang GTs that they had just for catching supercars.
Mm-hmm.
And that mug, I mean, I was doing 70, which was about what traffic was doing. Yeah. And
blew by you like back
easily, days. Easily twice what we were doing.
I had a neighbor, he was a state trooper.
To drive that?
He was a state trooper, and he had the Javelin, American Javelin state trooper car when they had those. That ended up being the fastest car on the road back then. Because they wanted something that could catch Corvettes.
Yeah.
What year was this?
Back in the 70s.
Okay. Because my dad had the fastest car in the state of Alabama in the 60s. It was a 62 Impala. Pulled out the original 409 because it wasn't fast enough.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
One up on everybody. Here we go.
Oh, no. This car was legendary. It was called Big Mama.
Well, the Corvette. Yeah. I mean, that's what they had a Chevrolet engine in them.
Yeah. My dad used to toy with it. So, he said he caught one
427.
Down at Bellengrath Road. Mm-hmm. He said I couldn't keep up with him in the curves because my car was too heavy.
Just a pumped up 350, said, baby.
Yeah,
that's what a vet had it is, a pumped up 350. Or
what they did?
Yeah, on a motorcycle frame. Yeah.
What they?
Yeah, no weight.
I mean, that was a hot car back then, and
still is.
Yeah, it is. Still is. It's very expensive. But back then, they said the state troopers said we need something to catch those Corvettes with.
That's why they came up with the Crown Vic.
And then American Motors said we got one.
Yeah,
and it did. It was a bad. You know,
yeah, jamma, yeah. Well, Sheriff Bridges had bought a specific engine for this car that had been used on the drag race circus. And my dad and his partner and Gene, the guy that ran the garage for the county, put a top end on it. And back then, you had two speedometers in a police car. One of them, you pushed a button and it locked the speed, and that's how you proved the speed. One night, he caught a Studebaker Golden Hawk. If you don't know anything about a 58 Studebaker Golden Hawk, it came from the factory with a turbo, a supercharger, not a turbocharger, supercharger.
Basically, you know, a fuel injection in those days.
Yeah, and the guys had all pitched in money together. They wanted to see if any law enforcement agency had anything that could catch it. My dad was the first one, and he caught up to him, pulled him over, and they told him, you know, we did this in the middle of the night where there'd be no one around. We wanted to be safe. None of us is drinking. And he said, well, I'll just write you a standard speeding ticket as long as y'all do it. And they said, real quick, his speedometer only goes to 120. Do you know how fast we were going? He goes, let me go check. And he came back. He goes, you were doing 157 miles an hour.
Wow.
Before I passed you like you were sitting still.
We used to sit up at A&W and watch those cars, man.
Yeah.
You know, we had the Super Bees from Mopar. Mopar was.
Oh, yeah.
They were the hard to beats, but their engine walls, man, were so thick.
Later on, in the
compression was so
big. Later on into the 2000s,
when they don't make cars anymore,
we bought a Diamante. We bought a Diamante when they first came out. 220 on the speedometer.
Wow.
220 on the speedometer. And when we got to, I bought it when I was married. Times it was hers and on lease. I bought it, and then I bought me a. Yukon and gave it to my son. It was in high school. That's all he needed was a car with 220 on
the speedometer. Trying to drive that with your knee.
Was it kilometers per hour or was it real stuff?
Stuff. I got it up to about 155 on the Bayway one day before I was coming down to the Spanish Fort into to the Bayway, and I said, boy, I better back off this thing. I'm surprised.
You think?
Anyway. Anyway, hey,
because you were doing it on a stretch of road where if you got just a little out of the way, you'd be underwater. Yeah.
Hey, are we going to try these when we come back?
Yeah. Yeah. We got some more non-alcoholic brews.
Yes. Woo-hoo.
Give the number, Mike.
251-343-0106.
Woo, that's good.
A bottle of whites, a bottle of red, perhaps a bottle of rosé instead.
Mike Bailey, Stuart Reb Donald, devoted to the complete gastronomic experience.
I want a big butter and egg man.
Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Mike's an engineer, man.
Yeah,
Mike is an engineer.
Yeah. I rigged it a little bit.
I worked on that thing for 2 minutes during the commercial break, and you do it in like 30 seconds. Why did I even...
I put it over the whole earphone.
Well, that'll work.
Anyway, hey, we're going to try some NA beers. Last week we did the Guinness Zero.
Yeah, Zero. Pronounce it right,
it was
Mike.
Good.
You don't want to sound like a buffoon.
And then I had to go to Callahan's the other night and have a few real ones.
Okay.
So, but as I've gotten older, alcohol affects my body differently than it used to. It didn't bother me at all. Now, you know, people go through alcohol nephropathy and things like that.
Your pancreas is getting worn out from processing the alcohol.
It's scientifically proven that as you get older after 50, you shouldn't be drinking what you were drinking at 20 because your liver can't process it.
Well, your body, you know, Willie has a song, everything that you do will come back to you. Mm-hmm. And it works that way with alcohol and food and all that stuff. But we're going to try a thing. First thing that Stu brought was one called Athletic, and I saw this one.
Yeah.
Where are we at there? I saw this one at the store.
Yeah, that one's a golden ale. I looked it up. The brewery is on East Coast and West Coast, like Connecticut and San Diego, which I think San Diego is west of Loosedale.
A little bit.
Yeah.
And then the beer that I do drink often, somebody has it on tap, is the Blue Moon.
Yeah.
And this one doesn't bother me as much as the other ones do.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily. What's that?
What do you mean bother you?
I can have a couple of them, and then later that night or the next morning, I'm not feeling it.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about.
A lot of that pancreas fatigue is what causes hangovers.
Okay, so these are alcoholic beers.
No, these are not. The real Blue Moon.
Oh, that's what you're talking
with alcohol.
About. Okay,
doesn't give me any it doesn't make me feel groggy or sluggish the next day.
But the non-alcoholic does.
Okay. Other beers do.
You confused me. That's what I'm trying to clarify.
But I'm just saying this is the NA version of the one I like to drink. And a lot of people serve these
with orange.
I did not bring the orange slices because. I don't want to. I want to taste the beer. I don't want to taste the orange.
Right. The orange is for the last little third of the cup when it starts to get warm.
Mm-hmm.
You drop the orange down and it cools it back down.
I don't give it that long.
Yeah.
He's one of those.
So you want to do yours first?
Yeah. That's the one you talked about first.
Yeah. If you want to catch this, the visual, you go to YouTube
or Facebook.
Sip and Chew.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. So this is a golden, so I'm guessing it's an ale.
Phil?
That's a lot of head on that.
Well, you're not pouring it right.
Shut up.
Turn the cups up.
Wow, really? We're not getting the fizzy either.
Yeah.
The audio effect.
Here we go. This will be mine. Isn't that amazing, y'all?
Baby, I'm amazing.
Go ahead
and
grab one, Mike.
While you're pouring it, I see they have a non-alcoholic bourbon.
Look at all the head on that. That's incredible.
Yes.
For a non-alcoholic, they usually don't have much head.
Hmm. So what's the ingredient difference that causes that?
Oh, I don't know.
Phil?
I'm not a brewer.
Phil, come and get your head.
Yeah. But they had two other flavors from Athletic Brewing Company.
Nobody's head.
One was an IPA, and the other one was a double IPA, which tells me one of them was extremely bitter, and the other one was even worse.
Not an IPA guy.
I do like goldens. I like red ales, golden ales. I'm an ale kind of guy.
It's a little different smell.
What the ale?
Yeah. So,
wow.
Mike has a process that he goes through. And I respect the process, so I'm just going to run my mouth while he does all the stuff that he does.
Go ahead.
Yeah, he's getting his bouquet. He's going to taste it here in a minute and everything. But it is less than 0.5% of alcohol, which means by law it is non-alcoholic. 45 calories, Mike. What do you think about that?
Well, how much sugar?
Yeah, well, 45 calories in a can that size, that's less than a light beer. Light beer is 90 calories.
Good can and aftertaste. Yeah.
So you're getting an aftertaste or just?
Yeah, I don't know. Just kind of a.
Okay. Well, Mike, are you going to talk at all?
A sourness to it.
Or are you still reading?
It's kind of, it's got a bit of, like you just said, a little bit of a sourness to it.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
I never was a, Brandon loved sours.
That aftertaste is lemon. Sour.
Ah.
It's like a real lemon. Aftertaste, like the zest of lemon. The rest of it tastes pretty much like any generic American lager.
Yeah. You
know? Which is fine.
Which is basically like bud or anything else.
Yeah. Not complex at all. No. But not bad either. Refreshing.
Yeah.
I could have like one of those.
Yeah.
So really the purpose in non-alcoholic beer is what it should be is for when you are that person who's had a few at the bar, and you don't want to leave.
Yeah.
And you still want a beer in your hand.
Or, if you're the DD.
Yeah.
The DD.
And you want the flavor.
Yeah.
You want the flavor.
Right.
And the social aspects.
And the social aspects of it.
Yeah.
And there was a while 2 years ago when I was on the diet where I lost the weight, a good bit of weight. I was drinking non-alcoholic, but it still had enough still had sugar in it.
Yeah.
You know, and you're just not supposed to have sugar.
Yeah. But 45 calories, that can't be much sugar. Because, I mean, calories are almost purely sugar. Let's see.
Carbohydrates. Those, you've got over, 200, 300 grams? Calories already, though.
My eyes are old. I can't read this anymore.
Let me see.
But the ingredients, water, malted barley, oats, hops, wheat, yeast. Same thing.
Yeast is where your alcohol is. Yep.
Yeah. Yeast consumes the sugar and farts alcohol.
Yep.
Is the way that works.
Yep.
But yeah, that's fine. I mean, if you brought that to me, told me that was the town's favorite beer.
Yeah.
In a draft, didn't tell me it was non-alcoholic. I wouldn't.
You
wouldn't know.
Well, you know, an hour or two later. I mean, you're not getting.
Well, I'd probably know no more than I drink. I'd know by the time I finished the glass.
Yeah.
But. I mean, that's still good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's tasty.
It passed in a pinch.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, if that was a town beer, that's probably all you're going to get anyway.
But the one we're about to try, the most popular beer in Lincoln, Nebraska, is called Boulevard Wheat.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And that was the first wheat beer that I tried, which in German is also Hefeweizen, which means wheat beer.
Yep.
But Mike and I are both fond of the wheats.
And that's why I think I love this so much, or like this so much, is because of Hefeweizens.
Yeah. Well, that's what it is.
Oh, yeah.
That's a Belgian style as opposed to a German.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it doesn't say Hefeweizen. But the wheat beers tend to be cloudy. And Mike's having the whole thing, it would appear.
No.
But
it's his beer. He
yeah,
can
but wheat
if he
beers
to.
Tend to be cloudy. They're not filtered as much as the other ones. I really like them. They're a little bready.
Steve?
Good citrus flavor to them. So I'm anxious to try this one.
Phil, bring your cup in here.
Because I do like Blue Moon, just like Mike does, which for those who don't know, Blue Moon is made by Coors, at Off Coors Brewing Company. Yep.
Golden Whatever Colorado.
You
want.
Where's the one that you had?
Which one you had?
He's just going to take everybody's cup. Cut Phil off. He's had too much non-alcoholic beer.
Let's try this one. How about that?
All right. But yeah, Mike and I both are very big fans of wheat beers. They are, I think, delicious. Is Hoegaarden a wheat, or is it just a Belgian
here's
style?
Some more head.
Yeah. Mike, right. Did you hear my question?
No.
Hoegaarden, is that a wheat, or is it just Belgian style? I know it's Belgian.
Oh,
it's delicious beer, too.
I don't know.
Steve's going to go over there to the old give it a goog and see. But You are the Blue Moon aficionado.
Oh, so smells good.
Yeah, so I'll let you go through your process here.
It smells the same as a regular Blue Moon.
Yeah, it does. That little bit of orange. That's the orange was there to, when they first started pushing this, to really enhance the natural orange flavors that are in Blue Moon. And that was one of the reasons that he did it.
Hmm. It doesn't taste exactly like a Blue Moon.
That's much fruitier.
But it's nice.
It is very nice. Surprised. I wouldn't say that's like a sour Mm-mm. or anything like that. I don't think it tastes like Blue Moon. But I do like it.
Yeah. It's not as it doesn't have the
It is still cloudy though.
Yeah.
Which is good. But also delicious. So there.
That is really good.
I think I'm starting to slur my speech.
It does taste lighter.
It's a classic Belgian wheat.
Mm-hmm.
Witteberg.
Yeah. And it's like I can say, this is much fruitier than the regular Blue Moon.
You can smell that. I mean, it's just right off the.
The nose has
and I wonder if they enhance that orange flavor just because of the non-alcoholic. Very citric.
251-343-0106. When we come back, Danny Calametti.
We talking stuff.
We got a lot of stuff going on.
Girl, you know that there's one thing that I love, but it's not you I'm thinking of. I want the ultimate cheeseburger.
Break it down.
Cheese meat, cheese meat, and that's it.
For more than a decade, Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
I don't smoke, I don't shoot smack, but I got a spicy monkey riding on my back. Don't eat pancakes, too much sugar and donut. I will pay for gumbo.
Stu.
Yes, sir.
You like your gumbo thick, or you like it watered down?
In between.
Okay.
The proper consistency, which is thicker than a soup, thinner than a stew.
Okay.
More like a stoop.
Okay. Speaking of thick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, sir.
Speaking of thick, I know some people that are thick. I'm thick.
Yeah.
You're kind of
thick.
You're kind of thick.
Yeah. Thick king. When Sonny DeShera was a first baseman at Auburn a couple of years ago, his nickname was Thick King because he had a beer gut.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what propelled those balls out of the stadium. The one likable thing about baseball is you can look like a regular redneck and still be an all-star.
The other night at the Parrot Head meeting, Danny Calametti said, I never know who I've got, what I'm going to follow into after y'all introduced me. So. I was trying to be creative with something, a way to introduce Danny. But, hey, Danny, how are you doing?
Thick and redneck, that kind of works for me, I guess.
So, well, you're not.
I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
Good. Good, good, good. We had a good time the other night at the meeting.
Yeah, we're good. We got some work to do. There's a lot of stuff on the plate. If anybody's interested, they need to look at PHIP. We got a Parrothead Facebook page that people can find out more about what's going on. And we're both sides of the bay. So,
yeah.
We're looking for folks anywhere from Daphne, Fairhope, Spanish Fort, and then, of course, all the folks on the Mobile side of the bay. So we got some exciting things lined up in the near term. We're going to be a little bit of music, a little bit about our fun, and we exhibit the Parrothead motto, which is party with a purpose. So we've got
some scary
things that we're working on and that kind of stuff. So, which is a nice segue, because speaking about charity, I had a great event yesterday over at the Undertow grill and bar and grill over in Orange Beach. Joe Coe over there does this. Is his 13th year. It was the 12th year last year. It's been posted as 13th or 14th. I think sometimes he just didn't want to. He wanted to skip the 13th. But anyway, he's been doing it for a number of years. And the backstory is Joe had a tough battle with cancer a number of years ago. And the result, I mean, the great news is he recovered, but he had to deal with all those medical bills. And so one of the issues is he created this event to help an individual with a medical bill. So he's always raised funds for a specific individual. And this year, we were focusing on this young woman over there, four kids, and she's dealing with fourth-stage breast cancer. Mm. And so the whole event was to raise money. And we did good. I don't have the totals, but we had a great crowd. But from a cooking competition standpoint, there are 14 teams over there competing for a golden ticket in World Food Championship. Half the teams are past winners, and the other half are really wannabes. And so the food is always great. We allow them to turn in actually two competition dishes. So my judges had 24 dishes to judge, 23 dishes to judge, and there were some great. So, Stu, you know how this competition, everybody wants to win, and it's great to place first or second, but to get second or third, it's kind of not really a kiss your sister moment,
let's be honest, you haven't seen my sister.
Well, there you go. So I was talking with folks, and as I'm making the announcements, I announced the second place, and I talked about how, you know, the second place is great, and we got guys, teams that work hard, and they try and always get better, but they just don't get over the hump. But so please, this is a guy that he really works hard, but he's got a second place finish here. So it was a trail boss, which is the Brad Johnson from the Orange Beach.
Yeah.
He got second place. And so he came up and he's trying to smile, but he lost one competition by 0.2 of a point. He gets back to his booth. I let him get back to his booth, and I said, and the winner is Trail Boss. So he actually got second and first place.
How do you do that?
Two different dishes.
Oh, we don't turn it two different dishes. Yeah. And he did a great job. And I told him, I hated to do that, but I just could. I mean, he was almost tearing up. It was great. So happy.
Excellent.
He turned, and what he did, it was really cool. He did a great chili, but he didn't want to do a chili, so he actually turned in the chili with a charcuterie board. I can't ever say that. And his instructions to the judges were, everybody does a great chili, but they like to fix their own. So here's your charcuterie that you get to, and he had jalapeno and avocado and all that. So they could create their own sample dish based on what they and really worked out great. It was a great presentation and all that kind of stuff. So that's the past stuff. But we got to talk about what's on board. But if you guys are getting ready,
yeah. Mike tells me he's securing the funds. The first time we mentioned any of this, I told him what the dish was. And then it's like every day, have you come up with anything yet? He sent me a link to a freaking grilled cheese sandwich. It's not a grilled cheese sandwich cook-off, man.
It was a four cheese.
It was sandwich. A grilled cheese sandwich that I
yes,
have seen 100 moms in America make.
It's four different cheeses, and I thought,
right, which
this
everyone,
would be good with the meat. You know, with the meat you need for.
But it's a grilled cheese sandwich
for a Cuban or whatever.
It's not a panini.
All right. Y'all argue another time. This is for the Panini Senior Bowl cook-off on Tuesday evening, January 27th, 6 to 8 p.m. downtown. It's going to be Dolphin Street at Bienville Square. We need a few more teams to sign up. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's $150 entry fee. You first place gets a cash prize. Have you seen the belt, Mike?
Oh, my God, I want it.
Yeah. Check out Panini Pete's Facebook page. He's got a video he posted with. He's got a world a championship belt that's out there. There's a cash prize. There's a Senior Bowl game tickets, two VIP experience tickets. Everybody that signs up gets those VIP experience tickets. We're going to do a presentation to the winner on the field during the Senior Bowl. Not during active live play. It'll be during a timeout break, so it won't be risking anything. But it's going to be great fun. The Panini Sports Marketing folks are going to be there, so you get to make your own ID cards. It's just going to be a lot of fun. And one of the keys is that from a downtown marketing perspective, Senior Bowl used to the all the pros and scouts and all that used to do their interviews in the evenings after practice. And the new GM has kind of reorganized, so all that happens during the daytime, during the morning. And so all the visitors that are in town, not the players because they're sequestered because they've got other stuff to do, But all the agents and the professional staff, they're looking for something to do during the evening. So that's why we're doing it downtown. We're going to invite those guys. It's just going to be a great event from 6 to 8. And the ticket for the public to come is to come hungry, because there's no admission charge. There is going to be a people's choice. We're going to have music. We've got celebrity judges, and some of those are under wraps right now. We haven't announced who they are, but we're going to have some cool celebrity judges involved. So it's going to be a fun time. So that's on the 27th, kicking off Senior Bowl week. So everybody needs to make it. The other event, since we're talking bowl time, we also got Super Bowl event coming up. And that's on the 8th of February. That's that is going to be the Battle of the Bowls in Orange Beach. So it's a fundraiser for Sea Glass Initiative, which is a great charity. But Battle of the Bowls, anything that goes in a bowl. The reality is they were going to do Soup or Bowl was the name of the event. But the NFL is pretty litigious.
Yeah, because they need every penny.
Yeah. I wanted him to go ahead and do it, because I'm thinking what kind of PR that would be to have the NFL suing a charity in Orange. But their admin person overruled and said, no, we don't want to fight that. So it's the Battle of the Bowls. It is on Super Bowl Sunday, but it's midday. It's going to be at the Gulf. And, you know, that's a whole big $50 entry fee. But the idea is that folks that come, they vote with the dollars. So the people choice, it'll be a competition. We'll have some judges down there, and there'll be some celebrity judges that we'll talk about. But it's really about anything that's
y'all couldn't have picked a more beautiful location for that.
Oh, the Gulf, it's great location.
Unbelievable there. People say, well, the Gulf is down in Gulf. It's in Gulf Shore? No, it's in Orange Beach at Perdido Pass, and it's the most breathtaking view.
Yeah, that's my favorite place down on the Redneck Riviera. That's my favorite place. And there are a lot of places to choose from, too. So
I'm going to ask you guys to have Ms. Penny Huey on it and let her talk about a little bit about Sea Glass Initiative, but also about this event, and try and get her to talk a little bit more about this. But Battle of the Bowls is a great event. We had a great competition last year, the winning I can't recall the dish right now, but the winning dish did feature our friend Deborah Hodges' sausage. That was the winning dish. But one of the people's choice was actually a dish by the high school, the Gulf Shores High School, which does a fabulous job. Penny will tell you what they did. They did a great dish. So the attendance fee is $15. So they don't want to pay a whole lot to come, but they want you to bring your dollars and to vote, because it all goes for the great charity event. So anyway.
You know, it doesn't seem like it was that long ago you were talking about this already, and here it is a year later already. And
the
last year has flown by.
It is. So we've got some stuff coming down the pike, but those are two things that are fun, in and out of Mardi Gras, it's happening. So we appreciate you guys giving us a chance to shout out about it and helping we can. And Stu, I'm looking forward to you to strapping up and getting on board and be proud to have you there.
Bring in the sizzle.
And for teams, look, so there's no electricity involved, excuse me, because we're not sure how to make all that stuff work. But we do have, for guys that are going to be doing, if you're worried about competing, we will have a community set of grills available, so we'll have some propane flat top grills there. If you want to come compete, but not sure you have the right equipment to cook a pressed sandwich. That's what we're talking about. Pressed sandwiches. We'll have some grills available. Also, for teams that register, I forgot about this. Greer's is one of our big sponsors.
Mm.
Next Thursday night, we're going to have a shopping event at Greer's for all the teams that are sponsoring. They're going to do a $100 gift card, so you get to go run around Greer's and pick up your supplies. And so it's going to be a great event.
Hey, Danny, hold on, man. Hold on through the break, okay?
All right. I will
hold on to the break. Don't go nowhere.
They are the dynamic duo of dining. Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu. Call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Okay, we still got Danny Calametti on the line, and I wanted him to expand a bit more on the Greer's thing, part of this Panini competition.
Well, first off, you know, like on the Johnny Carson show, when there were new folks that were on, and he actually asked you to come sit on the couch, mm-hmm. that's when you knew you made it. And you guys asked me to stay through the break, so
don't get too full of yourself here, Danny.
It was a technical issue, Danny. And we also want to make sure that you give websites and all of that stuff too.
Yeah, before you do, but you go back on the Greer's gift card.
Yes. So the whole idea is that we always know these events are expensive for guys to go out and get their supplies and test stuff. So the folks at Greer's are happy to, you know, they're great corporate sponsors, community sponsors, all that kind of stuff. So they're kicking in $100 gift card. So we're going to do a Facebook event. We want as many teams as possible to come down Thursday night. We're doing it 5:30, 6:00. If you register, we'll get you all the details for it, because you have to be registered in order to participate. And so we're going to come down. We're going to do kind of a shopping spree. We can't tell you what the name of it is because Guy will sue us if we go by. We call it grocery games. We'll get in trouble with that.
Yeah.
But anyway, so we're going to do kind of a shopping spree. Let you go out and shop for Greer's and pick up some of your supplies. And it's a $100 gift card, so it doesn't cover all the expenses, but it helps, you know. And on the other side of it, we're not talking about, unless you're silly, we're not talking about filet mignon sandwiches. We're talking about flat, you know, pressed sandwiches, Cubans, and that kind of stuff. So it's just a way we want to participate. We want teams to participate and to help with it. It's gonna be a lot of fun.
Well, we're looking forward to it. And anybody that wants to get involved with it, where can they go to find the information they need?
So the best place is to go to Panini Pete's website, Panini, and he's got one. I'll post a link on your page, and there's a QR code that takes you to the Eventbrite page that you can sign up for and get that stuff done. And that's probably the best link for it. I'll put a link, of course, on Alabama Coasting, but they're handling all the Panini guys are handling all the marketing and all that type of stuff. So they're doing a great job with that. And of course, if you do his countdown, 1, 2, 3, or 3, 2, 1, Pete always does his Facebook post that way. But he'll get out there. He's doing a great job. It's a lot of fun working with Pete and his gang, and they have a lot of fun, but they work hard and do a fabulous job. So anytime you get a chance to work with, so when this whole thing first announcement came out and I saw that Panini was the name partner, my first thought was, damn, Pete has stepped up.
That's what I told Pete. I told Pete that too.
Bought a whole bowl game. And I will argue the most important bowl game.
Absolutely. So we're happy. The Senior Bowl folks are doing a great job. Molly Middleton and that gang, they're doing a great job. They're excited to have us play with them. The downtown, the city of Mobile's partnering with us. They're making it easy to play, and you know, everybody's. It's gonna be a fun event.
I think so.
So we appreciate you guys stepping in, and Stu, happy to have you competing, and I know you'll keep Mike at bay as much as possible, and
he's there for eye candy. He's there to bring the ladies over.
Oh, there you go. That'll work somewhat.
Wow,
we do. We want to win, Stu. We got to find somebody more handsome than us.
Thanks, Danny.
Yeah, we appreciate you coming on. We won't take any more of your time, buddy.
Thank you.
All right, man. Thank you much. Take care.
All right. Oh, it's gonna be a fun event. A great event.
It's such a simple idea, Mike. Put peanut butter on one piece of bread.
Oh my gosh.
Then I'm gonna put jelly on the other side of bread. jam them together.
David Hubble wrote in and says, hey, guys, had a great meal at the Chop House Tuesday night. Food, drink, and service was spectacular.
Phenomenal place.
Also, thanks to y'all for the YouTube video from the sneak peek y'all went to a while back, plus Mike on the answer to my fashion question. David Hubble.
My gosh. David, you are in quite a fashion conundrum if you go to Mike Bailey or myself for help.
Yeah, because I haven't worn a tie in 8 years.
Martin says, I got familiar with NA beers several years ago. That was the topic this morning when diagnosed with hepatitis C. The best, in my opinion, are Klaus-Dehler.
Oh, yeah.
Erdinger, Beck's, St. Pauline's Girl.
All of them, yeah. 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 Mm-hmm.
I'm a big fan of Beck's beer.
The Blue Moon was okay. I like the first one y'all brought in last week.
As we bring in some of those, Guinness. Like St. Pauli Girl, you're probably gonna like St. Pauli Girl, and we'll bring in. But I want to tell you, I think people will be surprised at Budweiser NA beer. So
surprise or bad surprise?
For me, it was real pleasant.
Well, keep in mind they're owned by Belgians now.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And but no nation takes beer. I think I need to go seriously. Yeah.
I think I need to go to these distributors and ask for some samples.
What you need to do? Because
you can't buy these individually.
You need to crowdfund us a trip to Belgium.
Oh, we could really talk good about it then.
Yeah,
real experts then.
Sober.
Yeah. So get that Kickstarter page going, Mike. Send two fat rednecks to Belgium to drink beer.
Get the trade out going there. You know, trade out.
Well, they sponsor us the Mobilies. The Mobilies. When we went to Beverly Hills, we were the
Mobilies.
The Mobilies.
Beverly Mobilies.
The Beverly Mobilies.
That's funny.
On a football note, yesterday, the weirdest ending to the Broncos game.
Oh, stupid.
I heard, but
Bo Nix season ending injury. Taking a knee to end the game. Broke his ankle.
Yeah. Broke his ankle.
After they bought the refs.
Hey, Sean Payton was way overdue. The Saints would have two or three Super Bowls right now, not for the NFL getting in and stealing them.
Yeah. Yeah. We know it's a food and drink show, okay? Yeah, we know. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for the text.
But it's okay because Bo Nix's backup at Denver is Jared Stidham, former Auburn quarterback. So they had
that's
both.
Why you're going there. Okay. Yeah. I think
neat the way it worked out, though. But I do hate that Bo got hurt, especially in such a weird way. He's a remarkable young man.
He's just a fragile
boy. I heard Philip Rivers was coming to take over there. He's quarterback.
You can't change teams after the playoffs start, Mark.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no draft. There's no NIL there. Sorry.
Yeah. Philip Rivers, who wanted to go to Auburn, but they went with Jason Campbell instead.
I really hoped that Allen would get in this year. I really would. I was really hoping for Tony. I'm not a Denver fan.
And I always liked the Buffalo Bills. I love the Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas Bills teams. Listen, they were phenomenal.
Listen, let's sample some King Cakes coming up, too. There's like four of them I want to try.
King Cakes and non-alcoholic beer.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
There's actually a King Cake beer.
What?
I don't know if they make a non-alcoholic. Yeah, I think Braided does it every year.
Well, I think Cammy does.
Are you going to Dairy Queen for your beer? What?
Nah.
I think Cammy's Old Dutch does a King Cake. Well, I know there's a King Cake Bushwhacker.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that's Pete and his folks that do that.
Oof. Well, they do it at Moe's, too, I think.
All right, folks, we're going to get on up out here. Hey, Michael, what should people do?
Let your provolone.
Oh, well, I was talking about tipping their service and all that.
Do that, too.
Yeah, don't tip your service anymore, just provolone. Hey, you know what the loneliest cheese is?
Provolone. Buying drinks to buy some time beneath the stained glass neon lights while the bartender listens. As long as...